book of Mark in the New Testament of the Bible. It's one of the four Gospels. It tells the story of the life of Jesus, who he was and what he did. I thank the Lord for Jesus. Every time that Abby sings that song and she says, "I met the one who gave his life for me," I think that's Jesus. That's Jesus. And I'm thankful for what he did on the cross of Calvary. But this story here is about a man, and I was kind of struggling with this. One of these days, I hope to be able to explain to you the internal struggle that a pastor has between wanting to do what I want to do and wanting to be obedient to the leading and the prodding of the Holy Spirit. And I know that some of you may never understand it, but I do try and be obedient. And so here I am. But the Lord gives us confirmation. I was thinking one of the other songs was being sung, and the Lord just used some of those lyrics to confirm to me, and I like when he does that. And let me quit rambling and go on ahead and read the Bible. How about that? Mark chapter number 5, verse number 1, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000. And were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." Heavenly Father, please help, Lord. I need you tonight. Our church needs you. Our people need you. Our country needs you. Lord, we're in dire need of you, Lord, and of a revival from you. God, I pray that you would touch each person here tonight. I pray that you would open up their hearts. They would be receptive to the Word of God. I pray that you would give me power. I pray that you would give me wisdom. I pray that you would give me strength. Lord, I pray that you would give me help. Lord, I pray that you would help your people. Lord, I pray that if there be anyone that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, Lord, before they leave here today, they would come to know you as Lord and Savior of their life. Pray, Father, that you'd have your will and your way in Master Club, or excuse me, Lord, in Children's Church next door, and Lord, that you would help them as they minister to our kids, that you'd give them what they stand in need of. You would teach them, Lord, what you'd have them to know. Lord, my mind is feeble. My words are feeble. But Lord, your words are eternal. Help me to exalt Scripture. Help me, Lord, to lean on you and not to my own understanding. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. In Mark chapter number 5, I just read to you this story, at least the first 20 verses, of this crazy man who has been made sane because of Jesus. Now, what makes this story so unique is that it is a type and a picture of you and I without the Lord, of people without the Lord, of the world without the Lord. And so when we get into this message, we just jump right off into it. And this, I guess if I titled it anything, I would preach to you tonight on From a Maniac to a Minister. The first thing I want you to notice with me is, number one, he was bound, but Jesus had set him free. In John 8 and verse number 36, the Bible said, "If the Son," capital S, "if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Isaiah 61 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." One of the things that Jesus specializes in is setting captives free. I'm glad to report to you tonight that he has the power to overcome the bounds that have you bound and set you free. If you're here tonight and you're bound up by something, whether it be a Christian that's bound up by some kind of sin, or whether you be someone who's never met the Lord Jesus has the power and the incredible ability to take whatever it is that binds you spiritually and unloose those bounds and allow you to walk in freedom in only the way that he can. I've seen him do it way too many times, and I know that he'll do it for you. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 18 says, "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Jesus sets you free and also gives you liberty to continue. It's the world that brings up the past and the things that had you bound. Amen? It is the people you've known in the past. It's the devil that brings those things up and throws your past in your face and says, "Oh, I don't know if you'll be good for the Lord. I know what you used to be." I tell you, friend, I thank God that God does not account for what I used to be. He's removed my sin as far away from me as the east is from the west. All of that has been washed away in the precious blood of Jesus. I've been set free, and now I'm no longer a servant to sin. I am a servant to righteousness. Thank God for the freedom, and not only the freedom, but the liberty that God gives us. Liberty from what and who we are and what and who and whatever has us bound. We're set free from those things. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Here's my problem. I got real transparent this morning. I'm going to do it again. Here's my problem. I want to walk back into the bondage sometime. Sometimes I want to go back to get that little dopamine hit, that little feeling, that little feel good that I like so much for a little bit. I want that because I'm flesh and blood. Now don't go lying to yourself saying, "Oh, no, I'm not that way. I don't do it." Oh, you stinking Pharisee, you know good and well. Every single one of us has got something. And I'm glad to report to you, it might take a little bit of time, but if you'll trust in the Lord, He'll set you free. Here's what I've learned is when I remember that the Lord has set me free and I go to wanting to go back to those things and I want to desire those things again, I say, wait a minute, I'm not a servant to them anymore. I'm a servant to righteousness. I'm a servant to holiness. I'm a servant to godliness. That means God expects that of me. Amen? You okay? God expects His people to live holy, to live righteously, to live justly, amen, in front of this world. And friend of mine, we no longer serve the unrighteous part of the world. He's given us liberty. We can stand fast in that liberty and not get entangled again in that bondage. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 9, the Bible said, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." I like that he took away that first. I'm thankful, Brother Dorsey, that he took away my first. I know me. I know what I am. I know who I am. But God doesn't account that toward me. He holds me blameless under the blood of His Son. Amen. That's what He did for this man here. He saw him in the condition that he was in. You know what? If someone that was possessed come running up on us, we getting off a boat, they come running up on us, I'll just be honest with you, we're probably going to tuck tail and run. We're going to get away from them. We're going to say, that man's crazy. I don't want nothing to do with them. Jesus met the challenge. Jesus, y'all hear that? Jesus met that crazy man's challenge. He stood there with him and he said, "Hey, come out of him. I know what you are and I'm not going to run away." See, Jesus knows what we are. He knows what we're made of. He knows what we've done. He knows where we lived. He knows what we participated in, and he doesn't run from the challenge. He says, "Hey, I've got something enough that'll set you free, child of God." I'm having me a time. I'm glad that He set me free. That old song, we sing it once, "Like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free." Amen? We sing those. You know why we sing songs like that? To teach doctrine. Because you'll retain that song. Most of you will remember that I sung that song more than you will the content of this message. And that's okay. Because Jesus sets us free when we're bound up, and He doesn't go away just because in our binding and in our trouble and in our iniquity and in our discretions and our sin that has us so bound up. See, Jesus never looks at our web of sin that we weave or our knots of sin that we tie and decides that they're too great to unloose or to unbind. He just goes right ahead and does what He does and looses us and lets us go, glory to God, and takes those that are bound and sets us free. This man was bound, but Jesus set him free. There's another thing. This man was insane, and Jesus restored his sanity. The Bible says in verse 6, "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him." He knew who Jesus was. Now, what's so interesting about this is in verse number 3, it says, "Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with chains." Verse 4 says that he had often been bound with chains and fetters. People had locked this man up a lot of times. They had bound him up, and his charge was, "You're a lunatic. You're crazy. So we're going to lock you up." I find it amazing that it doesn't say that they had social programs in place to help him out. I find it interesting that the Bible does not say, and the leaders of the country of the Gadarenes would bring him in and institutionalize him and paint him up and put a suit on him and then kick him back out on the streets. We don't read that, do we? No, they dealt with things a lot different back in those days.
And so they would bind him up because they didn't want him around. They were fine with him staying in the graveyard. They were fine with him having his dwelling among the tombs. But Jesus wasn't. And when he saw, he didn't even get to him. He saw Jesus. And every devil in that man cried out, "That's the Son of the Most High God." Every one of them legions, a legion is 2,000. Every one of those demons that had possession of that man knew and understood that that Jesus was the Son of God. The Muslims might deny it today. Other groups might question whether or not he really was. But the demons in hell knew exactly who he was. Amen. They knew that Jesus was the Son of God. And so he saw him far off and he ran and he worshiped Jesus. And he cried with a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, the Son of the Most High God?" He knew who he was. And he who was wild when he got in front of Christ became tame. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Not only is the peace of God for the maniac at Gadara who got turned into a minister of Gadara, but it's also for all those people that had seen him for all those years that saw the peace of God come across that man. Hey, can you hear him talk? Hey, isn't that guy that we bound up the other week? Didn't we put a 3/8 logging chain on him the other day? Didn't we get one of them good DOT grade 70 yellow chains and wrap him up with it and he done broke that thing? Didn't we bind him up with them fetters? Didn't we lock him up real good? And isn't that same guy? Yeah, I think that's him. Well, he's free. And he's got a different look about him. He's not foaming at the mouth anymore. He's not acting crazy anymore. He's not geeking anymore. Can I say it like that? He's not tripping out anymore. He's not going crazy. He's not going off the deep end. He's at the feet of Jesus. Because this man had gotten the peace of God, which was not only to him, but was visible in him and through him. And if there was anything that kept this crazy man's mind and heart, it was Christ Jesus. As it did in this day when the peace of God arrested the attention of these demons and of that man of Gadara. Yeah, I'll make a distinction between the two. They are not one and the same. This man saw Jesus. The demons recognized who he was. And what kept his heart after being in the graveyard all that time, what kept this man's mind was the peace that only God Himself had the power to give. And that peace passed all understanding. All those that had bound him, they couldn't understand. They could see him, but they didn't understand. Matter of fact, we read a little bit later on that they even asked Jesus to go away. It's one of the few places, and we never read about the Gadarenes. We don't read about any blessings there, but we do read about them asking Jesus to go away because he rescued one man. You let a move of God going, and people get afraid of that. Isaiah 26:3, the Bible says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." The Bible goes on to say, I believe in 12 of Isaiah 26 says, "Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us." If there's anybody that made us right, if there's anybody that makes us sane, if there's anything, it is not our works, it is not our ability, it is not our strength, it is Christ and Christ alone that ordains peace in us. Matthew 4 teaches us that Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted physically, emotionally, and even psychologically. Zechariah 3:1-5, I want to read this to you. The Bible says, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel, and he answered and spake unto him and said unto him, and unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair matter upon his head. So they set a fair matter upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Jesus can change our thinking just like he did with Joshua. He can change our mind. He can change what we are. He can change how we're clothed. He can take our craziness and our wildness and tame it and make it right before him. He can take our crazy ways and give us a new mind. I know many of you saw me bring this book up here and set it down. Some of you may know where I'm going with this. And then again, you may not. In the song in page number 220, you're welcome to look at it. We're not going to sing it. In verse number 3, the Bible says, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Preacher, what has that got to do with being insane and Jesus making somebody sane? You take that old red back hymnal that you got there in front of you and you turn to page 220. You look down there at the bottom of the page, you'll find a note. And here's what that note says. The last stanza, what I just read to you, of this song was penciled on the wall of a narrow room of an asylum by a man said to have been demented. The profound lines were discovered after his death. The people that people are the ones that we believe that are useless and an outcast of society. I'm glad Jesus has the power to use and to bless and to help and to deliver out of their maniac ways. Jesus took this maniac, and we're watching the transition of turning him into a minister. He was bound. Jesus set him free. He was insane. Jesus gave him sanity. He was lost. Jesus saved him. Mark 5:8 says, for he said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Luke 5:32 said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That man that run out of them tombs was exactly who Jesus wanted to meet. That was exactly who Jesus wanted to see. Sometimes I just kind of envision Jesus as standing there saying, hey, challenge accepted. You're not too far gone. You're not too far gone. You're not too far gone that the grace of God can't reach you. You've not encountered or racked up enough sin in your life that Jesus can't give you a grace to come to repentance for. Matthew 18:11 says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. In verses 19 and 20 in this passage that I read to you a little while ago, the next time we see this man, the Bible says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Jesus took a wasted life and made it useful. The easy route would have been to get saved and go on a missionary journey. You know, get right with God, get all your ducks in a row, or at least have them in a row for that little bit, have all your cats herded, and then jump on a boat and go to Macedonia. Jesus said, no, you're not going to be with me. I want you to go back to your friends. I just said that word and some of you got fear struck in your heart. Go back to those people that know you the best and tell them what Jesus did for you. That's the hard crowd to win. I got some friends that I went to school with. I remember one guy that he was a good friend, dear friend of mine. He came one time. He's heard me preach, to my knowledge, one time. Unless he's watched online, and thank God for the ability to be online and to broadcast these sermons. Praise the Lord for it. To my knowledge, he's only heard me preach one time, and I preached the gospel in that message. When he got up to leave, he was walking out, and he was kind of chuckling. He stuck his hand out, and he shook my hand, and he said, that was entertaining. And he walked out the door. Oh, yeah. Them old buddies, they're the hard ones to win. They remember. He don't hold nothing against me. He just remembers what I did. He don't despise me. He just remembers who I am, or at least what he knows of me. And if I look at it from a biblical standpoint, like Jesus did with this man, then it's my job to go after him. That one that's hard to reach. That family member that don't want nothing to do with the Lord. Does that mean I go browbeat them with my Bible? You gonna believe? Your phone again. Man, that's a lot of notifications. Check it, man. Hello? You're on the side of the road. Oh, he's pretty ugly to me last time I talked to you. Yeah, give me about 45 minutes. I'll be on down there to get you. I love you too. Hello? Well, the last time I gave you $20, I mean, I'm kind of surprised you're calling me, man. Yeah, man, I got you. Yeah, won't you come to church this Sunday, too? They'll help you, too. All right, buddy, I love you, too, man. Yeah, come by my house. All right. Here's you one more. This happened a couple of weeks ago. Hey, man. Don't do that. Put the pills down, man. Don't do that. Yeah, I'll be there in a few minutes. I know we ain't seen each other. It's okay, man. It don't matter. Don't do that. I love you. I'll be there in a minute. He won't listen to nobody else. He'll listen to me. That happened. That happened. How you going to win somebody? It ain't going to be because you smack them over the head. It's going to be because you love them. With all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Because you love your neighbor as you love yourself. And who's your neighbor? What can I do? What can I do to help? I'm keeping it this time. What's he going to do? Stop the message? Oh, okay, yes, sir, I will. Are you saved tonight?
Christian? Are you carrying the light? See, this man had to go back to those people that knew him. It means he went back home to that little family that he left when he decided he wanted to go be the crazy guy. He had to go back down there to the house. Think about when the son or the daughter saw him coming back. Think about when maybe mama, who had been praying for the boy for a long time, saw the little boy or the young man coming back, and he left as a little boy, and now he's a scarred up young man, and he comes back, and mama says, I've been praying for you for a long time. Come on in. He had to go back. And when he went back, the Bible says that he'd done something extremely wonderful. He published in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And the Bible says, and all men did marvel. It doesn't say that they believed. It said that all men did marvel. They were amazed at what God done to the maniac, because he turned him into a minister. And this man could say, I know my life was messed up, but Jesus set me free. Amen. I can almost hear him, and I can almost see him telling what Jesus did with bruises from the chains around his wrist. Maybe the scars never left his body of the past sin that he had participated in, but he still went through Decapolis. Jesus set me free. My mind was gone, and Jesus gave me sanity. I was a lost, wretched sinner, and Jesus saved me from hell. My, my. What a wonderful story to tell that this maniac had, who Jesus made a minister. What can he do with your life? What can he do with your story? That's a question only you and the Lord can answer. But I assure you, he wants to help you today. He wants to change you. He wants to save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world. You think about all the dirty, filthy things that are going on in the world. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, maniac or not, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He has the power to set you free. He has the power to take you from a maniac to a minister. Father, in Jesus' holy name, Lord, I come to you as humbly as I know how, asking you, Lord, to move, asking you, Lord, to save. Father, have your will and your way in this service tonight. Lord, as David prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Lord, perhaps there's some Christian that's wandered off. There's some sinner that's never trusted you. God, I pray that you would change their way of thinking. They would repent tonight, and they would be born again. Father, have your will and your way. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us while we sing?